Welcome to America Weekend.
America Weekend.
And I can promise you then you'll always be my best.
It's Weirdness Radio, 34 after the hour. I'm the weird one.
Hello. The other two ladies with me are a little off the mark, if you know what I mean. I'm Doug with Jen and Victoria on the air. Our thoughts go to Frank Sowokens,
who
lives in Grand Forks, North Dakota, listening to the Good Day program. Hello, Frank.
Oh, he's a listener to the show. Hi, Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hey,
how
Frank.
Are you doing?
What
hey,
up?
Frank. All right, so you'll be all happy to know that 400 people were shot in Chicago this past month.
Ugh.
78 dead in October of 97. There were 79 people that were killed and 761 people shot. So Chicago, we have been focused on Chicago the last year or two thinking, wow, what a horrible place. But you go back 20 years and it was just as bad, which brings us around to the question, how can this stuff continue to go on? We're now talking about it. There seems to be a lot of media, news media attention.
But so what, I can actually give you an answer, maybe. When was the year that it started? Like, when was the time period when it started to get better?
When Chicago got better?
Mm-hmm. Was it in the 90s?
In the last 20 years? No.
Yeah.
No. Not, maybe around the, I don't know. I'm just pulling this out
well,
of my
because
butt.
Crime went down quite a bit under Bill Clinton as president. And that was because he took a really hard line on crime.
Yeah.
And he did a lot of different, you know, he did a lot more enforcement and he actually ran on some on crime and
yes,
tried
he
to
did.
Combat
You're right.
it.
I remember that. Yep,
and
yep.
So, you know, that's what I think is starting to kick in a little bit, not to make this political, but that somebody needs to pick this up as their cause because a lot of candidates are afraid because they think it, you know, they're going to get called a racist. And we've seen this going on with Trump. I mean, love him or hate him. The one thing that Trump has done over the last couple of weeks is he's made us talk about this with his law and order speech that I think was really well written by Rudy Giuliani. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, well, that's important. You need someone to deal with this and to talk about it and to not run away from it.
Well, and the Clinton thing, too, he put a lot of federal money into cities and policing. And in New York City, there was a huge difference. You saw police everywhere when I was growing up here, like coming into the city with my parents. I mean, every corner there were cops, and you just don't see that anymore.
Last year,
I don't know what the problem is, but it's
2,988 people were shot in Chicago. 491 were killed. So far this year, 2,800 have been shot and 487 have been killed. How is this acceptable in a modern, progressive country? The homicide rate there, and look at other U.S. cities that have the same size population or smaller. Chicago's got, I think, 2.5-3 million people in it. How do we compare that to New York?
When you know
New York's
the leading,
like 12 million.
Yeah. When you
14.
Know that the leading cause of death of young black men is other black men, and this is not car accidents, it's not drugs, it's not anything. 18 to 30 year olds,
shoot them up.
Other black men, and that is staggering. And
96% of the crime committed against black people is by black people.
And this is what gets me crazy about the Colin Kaepernicks of the world and the Beyoncés of the world who think that they are doing favors for their community by pointing blame at police officers when it's really, I mean, there are some bad police officers out there, obviously, but most of the people that they're walking with were actually committing a crime when they were killed. Let's start talking about the community. Let's try to clean up the community. Let's stop lying to people and start saying, look, you guys are killing each other. Let's make it better. Try to fix things. I mean, it's just frustrating.
And that's exactly what Michael Jordan's position was when he donated $1 million to there was a police fund, and he donated $1 million to, I don't know, the NAACP or something that they were working on, because he said, how can, and Snoop Dogg had a similar message in LA at one of the rallies. How can anyone take us seriously and value our lives if we're not valuing them ourselves? And so it does have to start within the communities. It's you know, it takes a village, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty, it's really, it's mind-boggling, actually. Here's something else from the world of mind-bogglers. The Minister of Culture and Tourism in India, Mahesh Sharma, has issued a caution to foreign women who want to travel to India. Cover up your legs or you'll be sexually harassed. The advice is now included in tourism kits provided for foreign women. India coming under international scrutiny for the number of rape cases there.
And, of course, it's the woman's fault for wearing a short skirt, right?
Right.
Is that what the message is here?
Well, but you understand this is a completely paternalistic society. India is for the men, by the men, of the men.
Yeah.
Women are just tools, as is pointed out in the conversation we had yesterday about women being surrogates and all of the hoopla about that and how now they're making it illegal or trying to make it illegal for you to hire, you collectively, to hire an Indian woman to have your baby or to grow, not have your baby. But, well, I suppose have your baby.
Well, yeah, they have to have the baby.
Yeah.
They have to deliver it. Yeah.
Yeah, they have to deliver it. So this is, most of us do not realize how sexist the rest of the world is. We have a real problem, I think, with sexism, if that's the right word, in our country, and we think it's horrible. But, man, when you go around and see some of the other societies, the Asian societies, the Russians, my God, the Russians are
awful. I'll put it in perspective for you. There was a parade over the weekend in Los Angeles. That's where I live. And there were hundreds of women who were marching topless down the street by the beach
It was Women's Topless Day on Saturday.
Women Topless Day, right. And so there was a huge parade celebrating that. If that had happened in almost any other country on this planet, those women would have been shot.
Yeah. Shoot them. All right. So. Where was that again? When's the next one?
I'm sorry you missed it. It was by the beach, too. You probably would have been the Doug Steffen Manor. I mean, darn it. You could have been out there with binoculars.
Doggone it.
They had all the important bits, though, taped up. I just don't understand it. Can we talk for a second? I'm just getting old, and maybe I'm getting your captain curmudgeon cape for myself.
Is this just between us friends?
Just for us friends. Just for us gals here. Sorry, Doug. You're an honorary gal.
Yes.
Would any of you march in a topless parade?
No.
Because I just don't like topless rights.
I don't think so. But
I want a right to wear a top.
My question is, if you're going to do a topless march, why would you? You said they had things taped. I'm assuming they had little nipple tassels on or pasties or something. I don't understand why you're going to go ahead and do a topless walk and then cover stuff up. Because the whole point of doing a topless walk is the right
to Kara. Kara's like,
top.
Show more.
Yeah,
I'm going out there handing out t-shirts going, cover up, sweetie.
No,
cover
but I don't understand the point of it.
Take off the tape.
Kara does raise a good point, though. I mean, aren't you missing the point if you're still wearing pasties?
There's some law, though.
I'm sure it's a law, right? Yeah.
True confession time. I went to the porn show in Vegas once.
Why does this come up more than once?
The Consumer Electronics Show. I went to the porn show.
Conversation,
yeah,
folks.
Met Ron Jeremy. Mm-hmm. Crazy. Anyway, and a lot of these women that were at the booths were wearing nothing except for tape in a few little precarious positions. So there must be some law that the itsy bitsy tipsies must be covered up. Again, I call you a chicken.
Okay. Bark, 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 bark. Okay.
Now, cheap psych tricks with Dr. Buff.
And Dr. Buff here. Are you tired of preparing food? Tired of cooking food for the entire family?
Lunch is ready. Come and get it.
After all, you're responsible for 21 meals a week.
Dinner is served.
What's the solution? Let your kids do it. Here's the developmental science of it. First off, kids want to help out in the kitchen, and most of the time we say no because it's easier to do it yourself than clean up the mess. But if you keep the recipes simple and avoid bizarre ingredients, kids enjoy learning about food.
And if you take cranberries and stew them like applesauce, it tastes much more like prunes than rhubarb does.
Also, make sure the recipes are age-appropriate and start with foods that don't require heat or knives. This is a great way to teach healthy eating and start with washing your hands. What's the cheap psychological trick? Kids will appreciate food more when they have a hand in preparing it. Check out my book, Cheap Psychological Tricks for Parents, at drbuff.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Think Green. Glad to be with you. In the middle of Europe, Zurich, Switzerland's airport, called Unique, is now considered the first ever fully sustainable green airport. And fancy, too.
Solar panels, and we have a couple of buildings where we collect rainwater on the roof. And this rainwater, again, is used for flushing the toilet, so we don't have to waste the pure drinking water, for example.
From Zurich, the airport's Klaus Johnson.
In order to create or to turn the airport into a family attraction, a bicycle path, an inline path all around the airport. And among these paths, there are barbecue places, forests, nature reserves, and you can either observe wildlife, flowers, plants.
Imagine trying to have a picnic at LAX.
Think Green with Harrison at thinkgreenradio.com.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Where are they now with Ahmad Rashad?
He's the king of speed. The first drag racer to top 300 miles per hour, his combined 69 victories in Top Fuel and Funny Cars places him second on the NHRA all-time list.
Far lane, the Bud King, Kenny Bernstein. At the track where he first went over 300 miles an hour, Kenny Bernstein gets the win.
So where is Kenny Bernstein now? As Kenny stepped back from driving, he continued as a team owner with his son Brandon continuing in the cockpit. Kenny's been a leader of the Professional Racing Organization, a group of drivers, owners, and mechanics working on safety and prize money issues. At the end of the 2011 season, Kenny announced his full retirement as both an owner and a driver.
Everyone today, wherever we go, they say, there's Mr. 300.
Kenny Bernstein, still the king of drag racing. I'm Ahmad Rashad.
Today on App Check, Enchant U is a typical university. Date hot guys, shop for clothes, show off your hair. Hey, this is a chick app.
Ah.
Enchant U.
It's a hit.
Just because you don't have time to read a book doesn't mean you can't enjoy stories about artists and groups that you love. To discover a whole new world of audiobooks and hear the stories that made the music, visit happylandaudio.com. That's happylandaudio.com.
Those of you who are looking for a new job, have I got an opportunity for you? I don't have it, actually. Lorna Donatone is here. She is the head of North American Operations for Sodexo, which is a big company specializing in food service and facilities management. I was on the board of trustees, Lorna, for a college. I went to school in Northwest Ohio, and I remember us considering you. And I had not ever actually heard of you before that. There's a couple of companies, but I think you're the biggest one now doing this sort of food service stuff at colleges and hospitals. And isn't that the kind of place that you service? What are the biggest?
Good morning, Doug. Yeah, we are a big company, and you're exactly right. We have a large university business.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Okay, so for those people that are looking for new challenges, this is a way, this is a focus on one of many over the course of the next month or two. So if you're serious about looking for a new job, these people have a lot of opportunities. So what's the first thing you look for in someone, and what are the various type of careers and job opportunities in the food service industry in general?
Well, I think the great news about this industry is we employ over 14.4 million people in this country. And so the opportunities are really unlimited. And that's the exciting thing about the industry and about food service and restaurant industry, all parts of it. You can begin your career here. You can enter at any time. What we've found through a recent survey is that one in three people start their work career in the restaurant industry.
Here, I did. All right, what about you, Victoria? Did you work in a restaurant when you were a kid?
I did, yes. Yep.
Jennifer?
Well, look at that. There you go. You may have been part of the survey.
Yeah.
But they also say that the majority of people are glad that that's how they started because of the skills that they develop, skills such as dependability, reliability, adaptability to any industry, flexibility, and team building. And whether they stayed in the industry or whether they moved on, those skills carried through.
Yeah. All right. So in terms of working for a bigger company or a smaller company, are the needs the same?
I think that the skills are the same. Those skills are transferable across any industry. And I think that is also why starting your career in the restaurant food service industry is a springboard to growth opportunities throughout other industries.
All right,
I personally would like you to stay in this industry.
All right. So here's something that I now, it wasn't necessarily a prep for the conversation, but I was talking to someone over the weekend that went to Johnson & Wales, which is a food service college in Providence. And one of the ones that you probably know well, there are a lot of people that go through there and they learn all kinds of skills. Is this the type of place that, and there are a number of them, I'm sure, around the country where you would go to find people, recruit people to work for you?
Well, Johnson & Wales certainly is a culinary institution that is a great preparatory for a future career, but the National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation also has a two-year high school program that's in 1,800 high schools throughout the country. It's juniors and seniors get culinary arts training as well as restaurant management, so they can come out of high school with some of those skills that I already spoke about, whether they want to go on to a culinary institution or whether they want to go right through the workforce.
I like that even better. We're always talking here about how many students that are coming through high school don't have a calling, they don't have a focus, they don't know what they're going to do, and so they fritter away their time. When you look at the number of jobs, it's 14, 15 million jobs here, and how we don't need to send everybody to college, in fact, this looks like the perfect option for a lot of people who haven't quite figured out. I mean, a lot of people in high school don't know where they're going. So you head in this direction because there are so many. You may not stay in it, although you say, Laura, and I understand, you want them to stay in the industry, but it's certainly a way to get training and get skills, which is what people need, skills.
Exactly, and the skills and that I spoke about, but also other skills that they then come out of high school well prepared for something, and whether they have a passion and a calling for this industry or they move into another industry, those skills never leave them.
Well,
so ProStart really, really helps that.
We're talking about dependability, reliability, learning how to work together with people, learning continually on the job, being a professional, focusing on getting the job done, being motivated when you go to work, taking initiative. All of those things look like they're part of career success and what you can do if there are schools coming to you or coming to the National Restaurant Association for a curriculum of sorts?
Exactly. And we partner with our state restaurant associations to implement that. Mm-hmm. And we are in all 50 states now, 1,800 schools and growing every year.
All right, so where do we go for more information?
For more information, the survey that I referenced, SodexoInsights.com, S-O-D-E-X-O, Insights.com, and then it will link you to the National Restaurant Association Educational Foundation.
Lorna Donatone, thank you.